there's a bipartisan push to save Ohio Medicaid dollars. State lawmakers behind the Medicaid Savings Act say their plan could save more than $500 million per year. But critics argue the approach could lead to more financial uncertainty. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss the proposal are Ohio State Senator Bill Blessing, a Colerain Township Republican. Welcome back, Senator Blessing.
Pleasure to be here.
And Ohio State Representative Karen Brownlee, a Sims Township Democrat. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Senator Blessing, what would the Medicaid Savings Act change?
So it's very simple. There's about seven or eight or so managed care organizations, MCOs, in Ohio. This legislation, Senate Bill 386, is modeled after what was done in Connecticut, which is called Husky Health. And what they did there was they moved away from MCOs, and instead of that, they have what is called ASOs, which are administrative service organizations. But from there, the state decided it was going to self-insure and move to a fee-for-service model. And the net effect of that in Connecticut was they saved something like, you know, $400 million or so every year over 13 years. And this really just models that in Ohio. And there's some precedent for this. We did this with respect to PBMs and Medicaid. So a lot of these guys, you know, like CareSource had Caremark, and Ohio moved away from that in House Bill 166, the state operating budget, a couple years back. And now this is obviously smaller, but it was, I think, $140 million each of 2 years that was measured, that we saved money, and the outcomes have been better for that. So it's quite a simple model. The money that we would save from that gets plowed into Medicaid generally. And though I'm not a provider, it's one of those things that can help with reimbursement rates, which is a huge, huge issue in Ohio. And it also helps, you know, potentially plug a serious shortfall in funding. The One Big Beautiful Bill Act was such that the Health Insuring Corporation tax is going away. So the state would levy that. It's about $700 million per fiscal year at these MCOs. It was a circular funding model, so we'd pay them back their premium rates. But the trick with that was is that it would pull down about $1.5 billion of federal dollars. That's all going away. It's going to leave a massive budget shortfall. The deadline for that tax to go away is June 30th of 2027, so next year. I think all the stars are aligning for this. But in the end, I think it's going to be, as we saw in Connecticut, a lot of people you know, saw better health outcomes. They felt like their service was better. More doctors, you know, decided to get into Medicaid. And I think it'd be a wonderful change here in Ohio.
Well, Representative Brownlee, how much money could this change save Ohio? And what impact could it have on the care patients receive?
It would be a massive, massive impact. The initial fiscal analysis shows that if we moved from these managed care organizations to the ASO model, that we would save somewhere between $450 and $850 million a year. So for every biennium, which is how we do our budgets over 2 years at the State House, we would save $1 to $1.5 billion. And the shortfall that we are going to see from these budget changes, the federal budget changes, could be as high as an additional $700 million or even more per year that we are going to have to pay out towards healthcare. At the same time that that's happening, there's also a work requirement that's going into effect, as well as some other administrative changes that are going to, in essence, move more people off of Medicaid. So there will be more people in Ohio who will be uninsured for any health reasons. And in Ohio, we have a quarter of our population, that's 3 million people, are on Medicaid. If we move people out of the healthcare coverage space, they are still human. They will still get sick. They will still get injured. We all do. And they will be waiting until they are at a crisis point to get care, and they'll end up at our hospitals, who must take them in and provide that care, but ultimately, the hospitals, even if they don't get paid for that service, they're going to have to pass those costs on to other people. And those other people will be anybody who's not on Medicaid. And it's going to be really a disaster for our health outcomes. And with the current model, you know, I was a behavioral health clinician before coming to the State House. With the current model, the reimbursement rates for providers, whether you're in mental health care, medical care, nursing care, they're decided by myself and our colleagues at the State House. And reimbursement rates have only gone up for Medicaid for medical providers twice in 20 years and once for behavioral health providers in 20 years. That does not create a sustainable workforce, because if you can't get paid, you're not going to take those jobs. And so a lot of providers have turned away from taking Medicaid, and that further reduces access to Ohioans to get health care. So we want to move to a fee-for-service under this ASO model that's determined by data and by the healthcare economy rather than by what legislators say, so that more providers would participate. They would have an easier time with their documentation. And the bottom line is that it will save us money, but more Ohioans will have access to higher quality health care. And that is the most important of all.
Okay. We're talking about a bipartisan proposal aimed at saving Ohio's Medicaid program millions of dollars each year. If you've got questions or comments, call 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. So is this in response to the federal changes in Medicaid that are coming as a result of President Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill Act?
So it might have been, but I can tell you that we had a number of constituents reach out, and this was the genesis, at least for me, on the Senate side, and you know, ditto for my joint sponsor there, Senator Liston. But I think that they really just looked at what Connecticut had done, and I think this is something that they were interested in doing, even if the One Big Beautiful Bill Act had not occurred. But since that did occur, it's now – there's been sort of a sea change in thinking in Columbus, whereas at one point I would have thought a number of my Republican colleagues would have said no to something like this. But, you know, obviously we had the PBM reform and
– That's pharmacy benefit managers.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. And that saved money and everybody blinked and thought, oh, well, this worked. I think a similar dynamic is at play here, and I've heard from nursing home providers who have said exactly what you had pitched, that, well, now with what has occurred at the federal level, the whole equation has changed. It doesn't make as much sense. They're getting behind something like this, and I've even seen some more, you know, social conservative groups come out and say that they're going to support this. So I think there's momentum for this, but it remains to be seen what's going to happen. But I think in all cases, given the deadline, it would be unlikely a bill like this will pass, but it will most certainly be a piece, I think, in the budget. That's where this is ultimately going to lie. And to me, that's a huge win.
Hmm. Well, Representative Brownlee, you know, this bill would get rid of managed care organizations as a way to manage Medicaid for the state of Ohio. But didn't Ohio implement managed care organizations in 2005 to save money?
Yes, they did. And at the time that they implemented it, there were 5 managed care organizations. That's now increased to 7. And what was part of It turns into a very complicated math equation with the state giving these companies business and then them paying this franchise fee back or this provider tax back. But with the updated budget from the federal level, that changes this provider tax fee. So we are actually set to lose a lot more money that has come back to us from these companies. That is also coupled with the fact that the 7 different managed care organizations are redundant. in their administration. So we are spending a lot more money across the board in administration of all this medical care. So you look at medical care and you sort of assess it by how much money is going to direct medical care versus how much is going into loss like administration and things like that. And we actually have reports on medical loss ratio from the managed care organizations, but they're not required to be very transparent. And so what I think has happened has been a lot of giveaways back to the insurance companies when we are not seeing. I'm not against investing in businesses. In fact, I think that's wonderful. I'm not against businesses making profits. But when we're not getting anything back for it, when our healthcare outcomes are actually looking worse, that's when we really have a problem. And, you know, I think the reason that both Senator Blessing and I got involved in this is because there's a general frustration that is bipartisan about paying very high medical costs and not getting much back for it. And we've got to resolve that because I don't care who you are, you're going to need medical care. And if when we do save money under the current system, it's going back to these insurance companies and their shareholders, not back to the state. I want to see our Ohio medical outcomes get much better and know where to reinvest that money rather than paying people to do a job over and over when it's getting worse and worse.
Hmm. Well, we will continue this conversation after a short break. And later in the program, are atheists finding community by attending church? This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're back with our conversation about the Medicaid Savings Act, a bipartisan proposal aimed at saving Ohio millions of dollars each year. My guests are Ohio State Senator Bill Blessing, a Colerain Township Republican, and Ohio State Representative Karen Brownlee, a Sims Township Democrat. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. And we do have a caller on the line. Hi, Deb. Thanks for calling. What's your question?
Hi, thanks so much. My question, well, I'll start with a comment. I'm very happy to see bipartisan support for anything these days, and I'm very much in favor of anything we can do to improve healthcare access and availability for people in our state and throughout the U.S. My question is, with the bipartisan support we have and all of the positives I've heard, obviously the managed care organizations would not be in favor of this. This is where they're making money. But what would be the potential downsides, or what's the pushback from the other point of view?
Well, great question, Deb. It's like you read my mind, because that's where we were going next. But Senator Blessing, would you like to tackle Deb's question first?
Sure. You know, and I think their pitch has been, you know, when they've met with me in my office, that, hey, we save the state a ton of money and, you know, we shift the risk away from the state onto us. The problem is if you talk to people, and I can think of one gentleman in particular who used to be, you know, somewhat high up in the NFIB, who told me that, you know, look, from what I'm seeing with this, MCOs, it's not so much managed care, but denial of care. And so it's a nifty trick to be able to say, all right, we are going to do everything that we can to just do the minimum. Because again, they're a business. That's not a knock against them, but they're in it to make money. And they make more money when they deny care to the extent that they can. And, you know, Medicaid is always going to be relatively expensive. You know, we're talking about a lot of people who are frankly poor by definition, but also children, people who are very sick. The genius in something like Senate Bill 386 is that it's saying, look, we understand that you guys, MCOs, are doing this, but we are then going to, by self-insuring as the state of Ohio, and then going to a fee-for-service model, we are going to capture all those corporate profits and put that back into care instead of padding the pockets of an MCO. Now, in the end, they would argue, well, you're going to have, you know, higher Medicaid costs to some degree. That actually might be accurate in the sense that people aren't constantly being denied care. But in the end, with respect to Connecticut, You know, they saw higher and better health outcomes. They saved more money. And let's also not forget, I have a colleague down here who would famously say, you can pay now or pay later with respect to healthcare. And, you know, there is definitely a cost to denying people care and the condition getting worse. And then at some point, we're really going to be paying for this. A good example of that in Connecticut was with respect to a number of providers jumping in and accepting Medicaid for dental services. And I know, like, dental services, you know, it's different than healthcare, even though it is healthcare, but, you know, your whole body is connected. Talk to any dentist. If you're having a lot of trouble with your teeth, it's going to trickle into other health problems. And so that's, you know, the whole issue with these guys, I think, is going to be we're saving the state money, but again, at what cost? I would rather, you know, see that money being used in the actual system.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for that call, Deb. I appreciate it. Representative Brownlee, did you want to add to that?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with Senator Blessing, I mean, which is why I introduced the companion bill in the House, House Bill 780 on this, because when it comes to real people's lives, this has a huge impact. I was recently visiting a treatment center for people with substance use disorder in my district, and they are getting approved for 30 days of treatment. Well, if you look at all of the evidence in substance use disorder treatment, 30 days isn't even close to enough. So this agency that's doing this great work, and I mean, they're going above and beyond to make sure that these their clients have everything they need to get where they want to go. They're then getting denied after 30 days. These are people who are motivated to be in the program. They get kicked out of it. They go back to using and they start all over again. How much does that cost us in the long run? Not only for the individual, not only for our communities, but also for our medical and behavioral health providers. If you have that to look forward to every day at work, can you keep your doors open? Do you feel like you're even making a difference? And this is happening across the board for doctors and behavioral health practitioners in Ohio, where they don't feel like they're able to provide the services that their patients actually need to get them better. They're just treating symptoms and the problems remain chronic. And these are going to cost us in workforce, in productivity, in healthcare costs, and really in Ohio's future.
Let me ask you this, because one of the other criticisms that I read in doing my homework for this discussion was that critics of this approach that you all are proposing say the model in Connecticut does struggle with managing care for people with disabilities and older adults, very complex cases. How would you respond to that, Representative Brownlee? Is that something you've looked into?
So with those cases, people with disabilities, people who are older, have chronic issues that are complex, they do use the lion's share of Medicaid dollars. I mean, that's just a fact. So what Connecticut has been doing and what we are tasking the ASO to do here is to look at the data that we get out of treatment. What is working and what is not working? So instead of making coverage decisions based on dollars and cents, we're making coverage decisions based on science, evidence, what outcomes are getting better versus what isn't moving the needle. And so that, I think it does take some time. What the senator and I think are both investing in with this Medicaid Savings Act is that we are looking to build a future of better health care here in Ohio. It does not happen overnight, but it's worth investing in so that by the time, you know, my kids are having families that they can feel like this is a healthy place to live, a healthy place to grow up and raise their families. You know, keeping people sick does not give us a good future. Mm-hmm. So we've got to do what we can to move towards better. And the science is there. Are we listening to it?
Yeah. Senator Blessing, you talked about how the managed care organizations make the argument that that they kind of insulate the state from these fluctuations and that they're saving the state money in these different ways. Do you have any concerns that this change that you're proposing could result in more cost volatility and maybe more budget uncertainty?
So that has come up, and I'm really not particularly concerned about it, just simply because I look to Connecticut, and admittedly, Connecticut is a smaller state, no question, but they have not had issues with this. And there has also been, you know, throughout the state of Ohio over the years, we have had volatile, you know, sources of revenue. For example, sales tax is famously volatile. It's one that when we go into a recession just craters, because obviously people are unemployed, they spend less. But I don't believe that this, if that were the case, that it's something that the state couldn't manage. We most definitely could do that. But again, I've not seen any evidence either out of Connecticut that this has been the case to any large degree. Moreover, I've not seen this, you know, be the case with respect to pharmacy benefit managers within the Medicaid system after we made that change in House Bill 166. And that was, what, I think 2022 or 2021 when that was done. And I just I struggle to believe that that's actually a thing. But look, I, you know, it's not lost on me that, you know, managed care organizations would view this as an existential threat. They're going to throw every roadblock out there imaginable to stop it because it means they're no longer in business. So I get it, but I would just caution people to keep your eye on the prize with what's going on here. Look at what's gone on in Connecticut. Look at our experience in Ohio with respect to PBMs and do the math on that.
Representative Brownlee, you were talking about transparency before with the current system, the managed care organizations. Couldn't the state's current model be reformed, maybe increasing transparency, making some adjustments rather than doing away with it completely?
It absolutely could. I haven't seen a lot of will to do that. As the senator said, the managed care organizations, you know, don't want to have to do anymore. But with HR 1, this big budget bill, we're basically willfully putting on a blindfold and walking towards the edge of a cliff.
That's the big federal budget bill you're
talking
about.
Yes, and how that we are going to lose so much money that if we don't do something, I mean, it's like, you know, we're just going to guess our way there. We really have to act now, which would be through our next operating budget, to make changes, to make sure that our system stays solvent. The federal budget, it covers about 65% of the cost of Medicaid. It's our largest expense as a state. And we can't just hope that things work out. We've really got to start pushing on reforms now.
Yeah. Senator Blessing, you mentioned that there is you are hearing some support for this from your fellow Republicans. How do you expect this to move through the legislature? Do you think it's more likely this will become part of the next budget bill?
Oh, absolutely. I think this, you know, obviously I will reintroduce this next General Assembly. And, from my perspective, hopefully we could get some hearings. But the budget's going to be introduced a little bit later because no matter what, we have a new governor and typically the budget starts later. But, you know, you'll have in the Senate at least subcommittees, one of which will be dealing with Medicaid in particular, as well as finance in general. This topic is absolutely going to be coming up. There will be a number of people testifying in favor. And of course, in opposition, I wouldn't expect the MCOs to sit this one out. But given how much money we're talking about, I think that even if there were legislators that were opposed to it, I think just out of necessity, they are going to have to take another look at this. Because again, Medicaid, when you add the state and federal dollars together, is our largest ticket item in the budget. So if we can save money and have better outcomes at the same time, you can take it to the bank. We're going to be dealing with this in the budget.
Well, I've been talking with Ohio State Senator Bill Blessing, a Coleraine Township Republican, and Ohio State Representative Karen Brownlee, a Sims Township Democrat. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank
Our
you,
pleasure.
Lucy.
Up next, non-believers among the congregation. This is Cincinnati Edition.